When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You all right, JB? What's going on?
I'm just watching Darwin Awards Twitter.
So really focused on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm a natural, aren't I? Okay. Perfect.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, back once again, and 1 week away from the Six Nations Championship. So this is it's the most rugbyest time of the year. It's one of the most exciting times of the year. And especially having had to deal with such a fallow weekend. So we are here for you to build up to the big weekend. And I'm with, of course, Phil.
Hello, Tim.
I'm with, of course, JB.
Hello, Timothy.
From the Rugby Dungeon. And who's this waif and stray that's just come into your home, JB?
Well, introduce yourself.
Just Byron McGuigan.
Host of Bite MMA podcast, yes. Among other things.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. Rugby professional, international... And now fellow podcaster.
And also responsible for one of the best days drinking I have had in a long, long time. Yeah, you probably don't remember. Well, you'll remember this very differently to how I remember this.
There's a very confused look from Byron when you said that.
Me and Tim were busy celebrating your hat-trick of tries.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. One of the great days drinking.
Oh, that was outstanding.
I was doing lots of cheering by the cheering by the first name. It's sort of an arrogant thing to do. Rather than go McGuigan, I was going, go on, Byron! Because obviously I wanted everyone to know that I know him. So.
We ended up having... We toasted your hat-trick with three espresso martinis, if I remember rightly.
So, yeah, we did. Well, Byron, talk us through that hat-trick, because that was last autumn?
Sure, yeah. That was the last one. I scored as a while back now, but I just remember two interceptions... which is always nice to get. And the other one was a perfectly timed kick by Faf de Klerk into space. So was enjoyable.
No, sorry. Scotland, Australia.
I didn't score a hat-trick there.
Did you not?
I only scored two.
Oh, did you?
Well, it was a really good day's drinking, clearly.
Too much drinking.
Wow. I thought it was a hat-trick.
No, well, it was two. I had one disallowed.
One
disallowed.
I remember celebrating three tries.
Yeah. One was disallowed, but yeah. Those two were good.
Excellent.
Right, come on. So, obviously, an injury has kept you out of contention for Scotland, which must be really frustrating in a World Cup year. So, where are you at with your injury?
Yeah, it's just probably the first time I've actually had time to strengthen my hamstring since I injured at Six Nations last year, first game against Wales. I keep trying to get back fit, and then I'll play straight away for Sale. Then I went on summer tour, straight back into this season. So it's the first time I'm having a block of 6 weeks to strengthen it, so it should be really good for me. And then hopefully if I come back playing well in 3 weeks' time, so I can catch the back end of the Six Nations.
I say a minor injury. It isn't minor to you, but it does show the strains, doesn't it, of a professional rugby. Like every time you're nearly there, you know, either Scotland are calling you up or Sale need you to play or something's going on.
Yeah, it's a busy season. When you're playing international rugby, so last year was the busiest time for me and it actually does catch up. So I'm not complaining because it's always great playing for your country. But last season was probably a month or two too long. And it's just good to start rebuilding it and see where I go from here, especially in the World Cup year.
Just out of interest, do you know how many games you played last season?
I don't, not off the top of my head, but...
Because I know there's talk of kind of limiting games, certainly for a lot of centrally contracted players, limiting games, and England contracted players playing in the Premiership, they have limits on the number of games. And there's a kind of a big focus on the overall wear and tear on players, exactly as you're experiencing.
Yeah, I think it's a lot worse for guys like Ferrell and Finn Russell. They play pretty much every international game, guy like Greg Laidlaw. And then they go and play every game for their club team. For myself, I've only got six caps for Scotland, actually. So I haven't had too much of it. It's not been as bad for me, but I do feel for those kind of guys who have to step up the next week for Saracens and perform.
How does it feel as a guy, like everybody that's eligible and available and on Gregor Townsend's radar will be fighting for a certain number of positions? What does it feel like being at this point now? What are we? How many months now?
8 months.
8 months from a World Cup.
I try not to think about it. I don't think they think about
it either.
Think
about it now. Think about it really hard now.
I think the actual focus is just trying to... So the boys that are selected now for the Six Nations, put your hand up for the World Cup, because that's the next thing that's happening. That's big for all the players. So I don't think there's a summer tour for Scotland. For myself, I just got to play well for my club, get to the pre-season of the World Cup, play those games and play well. That's what I can focus on now. So
yeah.
I try not to think about it.
Scotland's got a couple of games against Georgia.
Two against Georgia, two against France.
That's right.
Is that kind of August time in that running?
Yeah.
That running. Well, let's hope the hamstring's nice and strong. We see you back. But I mean, I'm saying, for your point of view, I want you to be back in contention. From every Sale fan's point of view, like JB, I want to see you back on the field. And from my personal selfish point of view, you're in my fantasy rugby draft team. So
And AJ McGinty's in mine, so you know I'm looking forward to him coming back. Need him back. Goodness me. Tell us where we can find the podcast, Tim.
Our podcast, of course. You find it anywhere you can download a pod. So we're all on Android, but there's the Apple podcast store. Yes. I use Castbox. You're on Podbox or something.
Podcatcher.
I'm Player FM.
So wherever it is, just search Egg Chasers at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and speaking of social media, Phil has prepared a rugby social which we'll get into in a little while. But your leap to podcasting, where's this MMA interest come from, Byron?
Years and years and years of watching the UFC, and then obviously moving here, Cage Warriors, and I just love watching fighting. I'm not a big fighter myself.
Now, but... did I see you in a gi? I definitely saw AJ in a gi.
You've seen AJ in one. I don't know if you've seen me in one, but I have done some jiu-jitsu.
Do you think you could take me in jiu-jitsu?
You got a good 50 kgs on me, but I'll back myself.
Let's find out.
All right, so let's preview the Six Nations then. So when I say Six Nations, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Yeah, for me, it's not even it is obviously linked to rugby, but it's not a rugby thing. I always think of Six Nations as like dog evenings, getting very, very drunk. And it used to be heading off to Cardiff on Friday night. That was superb. But now it's kind of just a later evening in the rugby club with your mates watching rugby. That's what I love about it.
And on that front, I think... in our last couple of years, we're not going to have a tier two tour because we have two newborn babies in the team this year. But the last couple of years of our tours to Romania and to Spain and the Super Saturday, three games in a row.
Yeah.
I love Super Saturday so much.
It's really hit me because obviously Six Nations are coming next week. Next Friday it starts. And it's hit me that we're not having a tier two tour. No. It's upsetting.
It is. So obviously you've got first-hand experience, but... Do you have memories of growing up watching any of those old games?
I do. I have good memories of watching Chris Patterson, Gregor Townsend. I know he's a coach, but growing up, my mother, obviously been born in Glasgow, she used to have Scotland on the TV whenever they played the Six Nations. So if I think about Six Nations, I think of Murrayfield and Scotland playing. It's the only team I really used to watch besides the Springboks. So.
Chris Patterson had that incredible like run of... kicks in a row. Who was the fella that took all the
long kicks? Dan Parks.
anything that wasn't fit within the 15s and within the 22.
He got, I want to say, 52 consecutive kicks. And I think he broke the record. I'm not sure if it's a record, but I know that Bram van Straaten got 48 kicks at one point. But that wasn't in international, that was at club rugby, I think.
Consecutive kicking.
Yeah.
You mentioned Murrayfield. One of the Six Nations, or Five Nations as it was, stories that I love is of it was in the late 80s, and it was after a Kolkata Cup match, and Dean Richards and John Jeffries were all the England and Scotland players were on the piss together, and they started playing rugby with the Calcutta Cup, which is why it's got a dent in it.
Yeah,
because they
didn't get flattened or run over.
Yeah, I think it got like hit by a taxi or something. Mortally damaged.
Yeah, it did, because they were playing rugby with the Calcutta Cup. Dean Richards passed it to John Jeffries, it dropped, and I think a car might hit it. I don't know what happened. Anyway, that's one of those stories. But then I was, what game was it we were at recently? I can't remember. I'm led to believe after the New Zealand England game, the New Zealand players all just left straight away. So my point being, do players still have a beer and a chat? I mean, I know it's different. You won't have a whole big go on the
knees
smash
up or whatever it is.
Except apart from Greg Laidlaw and Finn Russell and that. that brilliant picture.
I will say this: when Saracens came up to Sale, I think some of those boys went out into Manchester.
Yeah, they had a social.
Did they have a social after Saracens?
Yeah.
I mean, after an international, when you've got these block of games and you've really got to recover properly, is there space to have a beer with your opponents?
Yeah, definitely. So after every game, there'll be like a big event upstairs where both teams will go up, all sponsors and whatnot will be there. There'll be presentations from both presidents from the countries, captains talking. And everyone has a beer there, a bit of food, and then from there, depending, you know, how you go, if you win or lose, go out, have a few beers with your team, and if the other team's out, then so be it. But definitely straight after the game upstairs, the team has a few beers.
Were you out on that night that those pictures of Greg Laidlaw and Finn Russell?
I was out.
What state were you in?
I was in better state, somewhere in the background. Somewhere.
You were analysing the game, weren't you? Just trying to get better.
Yeah, just trying to. Just absolute professional, eh?
That's right. That's what you do.
And one of my earliest rugby memories is England v Scotland at Murrayfield, and it was the 1990 game, the Grand Slam decider. Tony Stinger scoring that try in the corner. What's your earliest memory?
Not my earliest, but definitely my most prominent memory growing up was. I know it's so cliche. Oh, we need to talk about this as well. The Scrum 5 promo.
we
definitely need to talk about that. Scott Gibbs in Wembley. That was an unbelievable moment in rugby history.
The best Six Nations try ever for me was 91, Philippe Saint-André at Twickenham. England were taking a penalty kick. They missed it. And everyone was running, jogging back like it was going to be a 22 dropout. And from under their own post, they just bolted, went. One of the most amazing tries. Go and look at it on YouTube. It's amazing.
It's nowhere near as amazing as that. Nowhere near. But I've got to say, you can only really describe it as the Gavin Henson game. When Gavin Henson looked like his career is just going to carry on going and going and going. And actually, it turns out that was the pinnacle of his career then. The two tackles on Matt Tate. And basically what was now a fairly simple kick, but a kick which ended Welsh misery of about 10 years.
So I've just looked up my earliest memory.
Was it on a spreadsheet?
To remind me of my earliest memory. Because I thought it was Six Nations.
Just cross-referenced his earliest memory.
Just wanted to check. It actually wasn't Six Nations, but it was, do you remember, England v Scotland in 1991, Gavin Hastings... conversion in front of the post.
That was the Rugby World Cup semi-final.
It was the World Cup semi-final, yes. So my earliest memory of the Six Nations is of the World Cup, not of the Six Nations.
Tough.
Yeah, yes. And that was a kick to get a place in the World Cup final.
Yes, it was. The only other things I'd mention is Haskell being bamboozled by the Fox thing and asking the referee, what do we do? Haskell running into the post protect is another one. And Haskell tripping up that French player and getting a yellow card.
Just for the record, Haskell was not bamboozled. That was good leadership, that.
What do we do?
No, he wanted clarification on the law. I thought he had.
And the referee's response was, I'm not your coach.
No, the referee's response might as well be, I have no idea. Because that's basically what the referee
good
meant.
Good luck. Another amazing... So the first thing you said, actually, was the final 2 or 3 minutes of last year's France versus Ireland game where Ireland needed points to win and played out from their own 22, played through 20 odd phases, including at least one crossfield kick, possibly two crossfield kicks, retained the ball, and Johnny Sexton slotted that 45 yard. That's one hell of a win.
Actually, I'm sure you want to bring this segment to a close soon, but I'm going to give you one more. That was, again, maybe not a classic in some people's eyes. The extra, was it 20 minutes we had of Wales, France? Yeah. That was some of my favourite rugby of all time.
That was 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
And the goal line stand by Wales at the Millennium Stadium.
Oh, the 4 minutes of defence.
Yeah.
Against Amazing. Ireland.
We were at that game, weren't we? Yeah. That was something else.
Well, you were at the... Were you?
Wales, Ireland... in Cardiff.
Oh, I don't remember.
4 years ago?
It was Phil and I went.
Don't remember that invite?
No.
You couldn't make it.
Sure, whatever.
So what will the players be doing now? So we've had these... England have been off in Portugal. Where have the Scotland boys been?
Scotland's just been up in Edinburgh for this week. So they've not gone anywhere. We'll just be pretty much... The team will know who it is now, I'd imagine. They'll just be walking, obviously analysing Italy. Are they going to beat them and start practicing this week, trying to get those strike runs done this week? And next week's just another match week. So however you'd prep for your club, it's pretty much the same for Scotland. So I'm guessing every team's doing that right now.
Do you know, I mean, Sale have got a pretty tasty back line. I mean, we can all agree on that. Right, Wiggs?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
When you go first time to your international camp, is there a noticeable jump? Do you think, crikey, this is like a level above anything which I've trained at?
In intensity, yes, definitely. I think the way Gregor likes to play, it's all up-tempo, trying to be playing the fastest rugby in the world. I think he's said that many times. So, yeah, definitely in intensity in training. The way just international rugby on a whole is actually a lot faster. But, yeah, like you said, Sale's got a very good backline. So when I go to the Scottish backline, it's also a very good backline, but it's not like I feel like I'm out of my depth because I'm surrounded by so many world-class players at Sale in the backs anyway. So
So let's look ahead to this year's Six Nations then. Now, it's funny, Eddie Jones came out and said, many things he said in his press conference.
He said a few things, yeah.
He said quite a few things, didn't he? One of them was, history will show us that the Six Nations has nothing to do with the World Cup. Which
history does not show.
I was going to say I sort of looked up previous Six Nations Five Nations just before World Cups, and it turns out it has a massive on World Cups.
In fact, it's directly correlated.
It is. So I don't know whether Eddie Jones is just trying to play it down because it's such a big start in Dublin for England. But when I heard him say that, I thought I'm going to check that out, and no. There's a huge correlation.
He is. Do you know what he's really good at? I might mention this last week, but he's really good at somehow getting us not to talk about England. Like, we talk about everything else but England, whether it be Jack Noll moving position or Six Nations not being very important or whatever it is. He can somehow, he's like Donald Trump. It's a government shutdown and yet you're talking about something completely different, something completely other. And that's what he does.
Mate.
He does it well, though.
It's a genuine skill. It should be admired.
And I think it's very important at this time because of some of the kind of pressure and some of the heat that was on the team as a whole last year for particularly Six Nations, their underperformances. I think it's important. Now he has got some of the guys he wanted last year back that people are kind of not necessarily focused on the way they're going to be playing or who they're going to look to, the go-to men. They're talking about, exactly as you say, Jack Noll flanker, which is... absolute nonsense, which there's no way he's actually thinking that, but people have somehow focused on
it. Some rugby journalists think it might be a real story.
Yes, some people have focused on it.
Just that rather than actual rugby, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Do you think, looking back at it, there's going to be sort of like a Gatland-Jones era when there's, I don't think it's quite at the stage now of like a famous beef, but I can see it kind of going that way.
They went out for dinner the other night, apparently.
Did they really?
And Warren Gatland joked that it was the WRU that picked up the tab for it. But yeah, they went out for a meal and chatted.
I'm actually more interested in the Schmidt-Gatland dynamic. Not because those two ever have any beef.
They've never said
at all
about each other, have they?
No, but I'm sure they have more, because they've certainly got more in common, both being Kiwis.
Yeah.
And I think they have probably more in common the way they go about their business. So I think that's where the story's at. But again, no one's talking about that.
Isn't the story kind of... I mean, I know he's not officially after the job, but I'm sure if the All Blacks said to Schmidt, "We really want you," and he goes, "No, sorry, I'm gardening." No, I don't think you understand, Joe. We really, really want you. And maybe the third or fourth time he would take that All Blacks job. And it seems to me that they're both going to be competing at some point for that All Blacks job. It's sort of... It's written in the stars that these two are going to collide somewhere.
Yes. Well, they are almost 1A, 1B.
Baron, come on. What are you desperate to say here?
He's definitely going to be the next QB coach.
Which one?
Gatland or Schmidt.
Schmidt?
100%.
Do you reckon? Even though he's gardening?
100%.
Because I could see either of them. So why Schmidt over Gatland?
It's not my choice.
Hang on. It's definitely
why,
him.
Why
would you have him?
Just makes sense, doesn't it?
I think
he's done so well with Ireland. He's going back there. It's just what? Off the World Cup. Just mark my words. I promise you, he will become the
coach.
There
we go.
Hang on. Do you think there is an argument to say that actually the next All Black coach is going to be someone who we do not expect? And the reason is because both Gatland, particularly Gatland actually, and to a certain extent Schmidt, are more Northern Hemisphere coaches than they are Southern Hemisphere coaches.
Well, no.
Did that stack up or is that nonsense?
I wonder. I don't know how much has actually been... I wonder if Schmidt is just playing a good poker hand, knows that the offer's going to come, or banks that the offer might come, which I think it would, or whether there's been words said behind closed doors and like it will rock the Irish boat if they end up playing New Zealand in the World Cup final, and it just that little 1-2%,
yeah, maybe
like that would make a difference, like that little 1-2% mentally, wouldn't it? Like, are you really? How much are you totally with us? Well, you know what I mean. It would just, and that's not how Schmidt would want to win the World Cup with Ireland,
or lose
the World Cup with Ireland. Exactly. So I think I'm with Byron. I don't know whether stuff said behind closed doors.
Is this stuff,
an agreement and a handshake? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think Gatland, right, is made for England.
Yeah, I'd love him as England coach. I would.
I'd love
as much as I've given him stick for his Gatland ball in the past. I think he
would wipe the floor with the entire world with those England players. It'd be frightening.
Well, it needs a big character. Well, that's what no, Eddie Jones is a big character. What am I talking about?
The problem is
a big character in the RFU who will also go there only on his terms, and he'll probably go in saying, "I'm going to organise the structure of how professional rugby in England work. I'm going to decide what access I have to the clubs. I'm going to decide how many games they play."
Yeah, because he's basically made his own job role in Wales.
Yeah.
Oh, England with Gatland would be unbelievably good.
2020, maybe?
There is going to be a lot of talk about coaches in this particular one. Obviously, Conor O'Shea, there's some green shoots coming through at club level with what...
Definitely.
What he's been doing
with Benetton
this season.
Oh, honours even in the Egg Chasers Bowl.
Ulster Benetton.
Yeah, 17-all. A last minute recovery from Ulster.
Yeah, you guys really scraped through, eh?
Yes, at home.
At home. maybe the next pod, but the Benetton run of games now, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
In fact, they're almost guaranteed to make the playoffs.
Yeah, actually, you just touched on it there. I think what we'll do is we're going to separate the... two podcasts, so there'll be another podcast in your feed which is all about the week's news, domestic matters and stuff, so just hit subscribe or make sure you've downloaded that one as well. But onto Six Nations, a lot of talk about coaches, like you say, the three big characters, or the two that are leaving, no, the three that are going to be leaving.
Is it
Eddie Jones going to be leaving? He is.
He's contracted until 2021.
He's in a transition, much like Brexit. He's got a transitional phase. So, like, his contract was 4 years, right? World Cup to World Cup, and then they gave him an extra 1 or 2 years.
2 years. I think they bolted on.
No coach that's worth their salt to be the England coach is going to go, "Yeah, I'll work under Eddie Jones for the next 18 months."
I'll be Eddie's understudy.
Unless they're giving Steve Borthwick the job, it's not happening.
Yeah, that's the only way I could see that. But I can't see that happening.
No.
Because he's not got the highest level international experience.
So it's not happening. So you've got to talk about the three coaches going. You've got Conor O'Shea, where are Italy actually at? And I think it will bear fruit in the future, but they could be on a hiding to nothing again.
Well,
in Sergio Parise's last season.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's a blessing in disguise.
Parise.
Yeah. It's about time he goes.
He's still good, but...
It's not that he's not good. He's definitely international class still. It's just, you know, you need a change. Sometimes you just need a change.
And then Gregor Townsend, talk to us about him then. Because he comes across as this forward-thinking, modern, positive guy. Is there other sides to him that we don't see?
No, he's pretty much, what you see is what you get. He is quite positive. He comes up with new ideas all the time. And yeah, he's an exciting coach to work with. I like the style of rugby he plays. It's probably something you're not used to from previous Scottish teams. He likes to run the ball, from everywhere, heads up rugby, and especially as a back, it's exciting.
They talk quite a lot about the ruck, don't they, in the Scottish squad? It's ruck accuracy which gets you playing as quickly as you do.
Exactly. So we try and get 2 second rucks, which is really quick. So we do lots of games in terms of that. And yeah, he drives that standards quite hard at trainings and reviews it the next day if you're not doing it well enough. So it is about ruck accuracy and ball placement and all that.
Do people literally stand by you timing the rucks?
No. You can just time it on the video. He has all this analysis goods. I don't know what it is, but he can time all the breakdowns. He shows us, and there's a clock on the screen. So
bloody hell,
we'll tell you. Yeah, we'll just show you. Sometimes it's crazy. Some of the best tries we scored the previous autumn against Australia and New Zealand, when we put New Zealand under loads of pressure. Each breakdown, he would show you maybe 6-7 phases where the breakdown was about 2 seconds.
Nice.
And how hard it is for defense to reset.
Because the pressure builds and builds and builds, and they're constantly scrambling.
Yeah, so you get your nose over the breakdown. I mean, get over the advantage line. Quick breakdown. And then eventually the defense just has to crumble at some stage.
And from the other side, it just, again, highlights the value of someone who can do those breakdown dark arts. Just get you half a second here or there. Even if they don't actually turn a ball over. And actually, potentially...
Well, slowing down.
Yeah, in defense, Watson, slowing down.
Hamish Watson being out could potentially be a loss from the other side of things.
Yeah, 100%. He's a world-class player. So, but I mean, then again, it gives more opportunity. I think John Barkley's back now, so it's
not a bad guy to bring in.
It's not a bad guy to bring in, exactly.
He's a Rolls Royce of a player. He's got it all, hasn't he?
Yeah,
classy guy. Right. So, come on then, Phil. Structure this little Six Nations preview then.
Well, kind of what we normally do is a bit of talking around expectations for each team. Kind of one player to watch who's more of a predictable player, someone that everyone knows but might have a big influence on the way this season goes, and someone who people might not have heard of as much, someone a lesser known name.
Interesting.
And then we'll go into, so following that, we'll go into the predictions for this week.
I'm so happy that it's this week. Where were you, what will you be doing? Where will you be watching it?
At home.
Are you a good watcher? Can you, because it must be so difficult. Like, obviously you're patriotic and you care and you know the guys, you want them to do well. But
yeah. I enjoy watching the rugby. Yeah. So I watch loads of rugby. So I'm really excited to sit back. It's a good excuse to be lazy on the couch. This is looks after the kids and just watch the games.
I love the fact there's a Friday night. I mean, I don't actually like the Friday night games, but I'm just delighted it's going to be here one day earlier.
Where is the Friday night game?
Paris.
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Stade de France.
And that's going to be...
That'll be
me,
a good game as
that's
well.
That's one of the deciders. That's definitely what... Because I think France are going to win it.
You have said before.
There you go. I'm doubling down.
Let's start with France. Let's start with France then. You host the opening match of the tournament.
Yes. Well, I think they're going to win. Okay? Because I think that they are... it's hard to say. It's so hard to say. I think they can beat anyone. And the problem is... They tend to underperform. They never, you know, there are lots of teams out there which are more than the sum of their parts. And France is definitely less than the sum of their parts. If they can just get roughly to parity, they are going to be an incredible team. And they're massive. And I think, you know, when it comes to it, having massive teams makes a huge, huge difference. So for me, I mean, you know, we saw them basically manhandle England last
year.
They
did.
And England are a powerful bunch of blokes. That as well, they've got a load of young talent coming through. A coach that understands French rugby and what French rugby should look like.
Actually, the clubs that are Racing and Toulouse have got that French identity.
They do,
this
don't
season.
They? So I've got a theory, right, about how rugby develops. And I think if you have, I might have said this before, if you've got a country with a heavy rugby league influence, you tend to play a more rugby league style game, like England do, like Australia do, so on and so forth. When you don't, you play a different type of game. And I think that's what the French do, like all this offloading, and you know, it's slightly different. And
they went away from that, didn't they? Under Laporte, they went for the battering ram.
Exactly. But if they can just work that in, I mean, you watch the way that Racing play, and it's all these beautiful little offloads. I mean, if France can recreate something like that, we're in for a hell of a tournament.
I think Laporte was just maybe... Well, he had an unlimited budget at Toulon where he could just buy the biggest men on earth.
Perfect.
And then thought he could transfer, but you can't buy players at international level.
No.
Well,
no.
they've tried bringing them in a few times.
Have you played against France, Baron?
I've not played against France, no.
What do you think of the French teams and the way that they play?
I just think it's too loose. Big games, it's a bit costly trying to run the ball from your 22 all the time, forcing offloads from your own 22 or just outside. It's just not something you can do in the Six Nations when you come across teams.
Did you play either of the Toulouse games last year? Because Sale had Toulouse, didn't they, in the Champions Cup? The Challenge Cup.
Did we have Toulouse?
Yes, you did.
Was it Toulouse?
It was Toulouse.
I'm not sure it was Toulouse. Sorry,
we should defer to our resident Sale fan.
Because Alex Ferguson watched. Dupont played. Was he injured that game?
Was it a different team?
No. So it was.
Oh, I think we did.
So the year before that was 2-1.
Yeah, I didn't play any either of those games. No.
Do you not?
No. I do. Yeah, they did play. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now.
So, in terms of players to watch, you've just mentioned one there,
Dupont,
and
he's going to start nine.
Well,
who knows?
In my mind, Dupont, but they've got an embarrassment of riches: Dupont, Saran, and Morgan Parra, the old head.
There's someone you're missing.
Machinot.
Who's the other guy? Anyway, Machinot. God, he's some player.
I mean, they've got amazing options there.
I don't know who I'd start out. I mean, I think I'd start Machinot because he's cooler.
Not in the squad.
Is he not? Well, I can't then. But he is very, very cool.
Well, right, you were going to say then.
Well, no, I think, so in terms of the players to watch, you've got the two young Livewire scrum halves. You've got two, now they're old heads, and they've, so two players who both play for Toulon who are not playing well, who should be leaders for both teams in Girardeau and Bastereau. If you can get those two leading the respective back line and packs, and if you can get them playing well...
Will Bastereau be starting for France still?
Don't know.
He's amazing.
Probably not on the form. He might be starting at number 8.
What do you think when you look at Bastereau? When you analyse him, when you look at him?
Oh, depends. If you bring line speed and you get him down early, he's going to have a long day at the office because he is quite slow to turn. So. Mm. But if you let him start getting on the... on the front foot, and he starts growing another leg, then he's a different beast. So.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
The thing is with him...
I look at him and think, how good could you be?
I don't.
You actually condition yourself properly.
You mean if you put on maybe another 10 kg? Really, really double down on what he's good at. He's unusual. And you can play a whole season. You can play a whole career and never play against a guy like Bastereau. And then when you do play against him, it's like, oh, crikey, what do we do here? This is, and like Baron said, get him down early. Simple isn't easy. I mean, it's a simple strategy, but it's not easy.
Well, with the modern defences, you can sort guys like Bastereau out, but just make sure your defences are right and you should be good. But like I said, if you don't take him out the game early, a guy like that can grow a leg and then he's an animal, so he's tough to stop.
One other guy I want to mention.
Yeah, go on.
Young prop. Who, there was a video, I try to think if it was this year or last year's under-20s World Cup.
Brennan?
No, not Brennan, he's not in the squad. So it was the tight-head prop, Demba Bamba, and the video was of France under-20s versus New Zealand under-20s, and Alex Shaw shared it recently in one of his articles. It's a complete destruction with Demba Bamba playing at tight head. So he's in the squad.
Oh, it's under-20s.
Is this scrummaging
caveat.
Or is this carrying?
Scrummaging.
Oh, perfect.
Scrummaging.
Is he in the squad?
He's in the squad. He's a very, very powerful ball carrier. It will be interesting to see how he gets on at that level, if he gets any game time. So it's just one to watch out for.
One that might be off the radar, certainly off my radar.
Yep.
It's on it now. France do tend to come good around World Cup time. They're very much like Australia in that.
Well, except
that
for
sense.
Last World Cup. When they
except the last
battered.
World Cup, yeah. Well, no, actually, that's fair. But up until last World Cup, France managed to somehow pull something out of their backside in a World Cup year.
Mm. I think Teddy Thomas is the guy to look out for.
Yeah.
He's playing very well for his club at the moment. He's a live wire. Gets his hands on ball and he always beats the first defender. So I think,
and it seems to be as soon as he gets into open space, he's almost unstoppable.
Exactly, yeah. He rides tackle so well. So, Champions Cup, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah, he was last year. In fact, he was last year in the Champions Cup. And also, I'm pretty sure in saying, was it semi-final, which was just one Teddy Thomas try, which was a difference?
Pick out the France game, the two France games they won last year.
Maybe it's France.
It was just Teddy Thomas getting out of jail.
Maybe it's probably France.
Incredible. Yeah, he's got some incredible tries.
There we go. Whilst you're on Alex Shaw,
yes,
he came up with a bloody brilliant idea on Twitter either yesterday or today. Okay,
nothing to do with Six Nations, so let's save it for the other.
Nothing to do with Six Nations, so I'll tease it and say we'll bring it up next pod. Okay, it is fantastic.
Next team, who's the main man for France?
Well, I think Girardot, Bastereau, and Picamoles, those three older heads, three experienced players, if they can get them firing at their best form, France will do well. If those three don't show leadership and kind of don't guide the players around them, and it might not be that all three of them are playing, but certainly Picamoles and Girardot will
do. I think Picamoles' form has picked up a bit. His first year at Montpellier was underwhelming, put it mildly. But actually, he's playing better now. The other two, however, not so much.
Yes. Yeah, they're my guys. They've got to lead that team.
What are their fixtures? They're starting...
Start against Wales, home, then travel to Twickenham.
They beat Wales, you know, it's on. And by the way, if Wales beat them, crikey, I mean...
Momentum as well is very important. I do quite like the we'll get onto it in a bit, but the Welsh deciding fixture hosting Ireland in the final week.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that could be for the championship. Anyway.
I think it's going to be a tough season, a tough championship for France.
I've got a feeling it might be, but JB thinks they're going to win it, so we'll see. Shall we cover Wales then?
Yeah, go on then, Wales.
JB is the resident Sale fan and Welshman.
Not a Sale fan. I was actually brought in to talk about Wales for a...
Oh yeah, how did that go?
Really, really well, actually.
Did you ham up your accent a little bit?
No.
You keep saying Boyle.
Boyle, yeah. No, they made me wear a Welsh shirt, and I've not worn a Welsh shirt since... You know, I don't believe
you're
wearing...
You're a self-loathing Welshman, aren't you?
I just don't wear them. I had no idea, really, about anything happening in Welsh rugby or anything like that. So, actually, my segment about Wales is more a segment... it's more an anti-English segment rather than a pro-Welsh segment.
Sounds like quite a Welsh move.
Yeah, what would you... Yeah, so actually, you did a really good job. What would you like to know about Wales?
Who should we look out for?
Jonathan Davis.
what Wales have got this season that they haven't had, and what fair play to Warren Gatland, what he's been cultivating.
Let me guess, depth.
There was a couple of years back, and you'd be like, if a couple of players go down, they are screwed. But
yeah, you've got
good guys
point.
That can step in now.
Yeah, I mean, it is
encouraging going into a World Cup.
Slightly different Welsh team, but actually the heartbeat of it is exactly the same, isn't it? It's Alan Wynne-Jones. He is the absolute man. If anything happens to him, it's all over. Pack up, go home.
When you see the six captains stood next to each other in the captain's photo shoot, which, by the way, they still weren't wearing boots in their promotional shots.
Furious, Tim.
It looks awful. Full
it
kit.
It looks horrible.
Full kit and trainers is a terrible look. Byron, if you ever... Next time you have to do your...
I noticed that too, to be fair.
It's just such a bad look.
Just get the boots on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. How hard? Molded ones.
And the women's, for theirs, all bar one were wearing boots. So it is possible. So well done to the Six Nations women's team.
Well done. Yeah. Well done to them. Ladies. But when you see the six people next to each other, you realise what a specimen Alan Wynne-Jones is.
Yeah.
He is enormous.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a referee trying to argue the toss with him. Or an inexperienced captain, do you know, when they bring them both in, like, you know, what do you think is going on here? And Alan Wynne-Jones tells you what's going on. What do you do, disagree with him? I disagree, Alan.
So, important players.
Alan
Wynne-Jones, obviously very important.
Is Felipe Falatel fit now?
No.
So, annoying for my fantasy rugby team. He came back, played one game, amazing break and offload for a try, and broke his arm again. So, out for another 8 weeks. So, that's where I'm going to go with this. Because, obviously, no Warburton. Obviously,
Moriarty going to be there eight then?
Obviously, no Faletau. So, Moriarty will be flanked by Tipperick and possibly Navidi.
Possibly.
So, they're obviously experienced players. Navidi less so, and Moriarty less so at this level. But I think that trio will be really, really important.
Where's Shingler still out?
Shingler's out. Oh, yeah, Shingler's been out for a while.
Yeah, I think he's been out since the was it the semi-final of the Pro 14? That's when he picked up an injury.
Lashes.
He's some player. He's some player.
But yeah, the guys that they've got, you've also got young Wainers, Wainwright, who would be interested to see if he gets any game time.
Because like, will they put Tipperick to six and Thomas Young to seven?
Oh, Thomas Young's in the squad, isn't he?
Thomas Young, yeah.
Just throw him in, see what he can do.
But whoever starts in that back row, I think, will be really, really important for the way that Wales want to play, both getting over the gain line, ball carrying from Moriarty, but also, exactly as you were saying before, Byron, increasing the speed of their rooks on attack and slowing down oppositions. Tipperick, when he does that, can be amongst the best in the world.
Can I just?
He's one of those players. Like everyone's talking about Jack Noll playing 15. I can imagine Tipperick playing 13.
He's
doing a decent job.
Yeah.
Do you know, just on the Moriarty thing and the depth, I think Moriarty is a good player. But I think he's a really good player. A couple of things concern me. First of all, he's playing at the Dragons, and that can't be a good place to sort of propel your international career.
Get momentum. Winning momentum.
I mean, did Dragons lose this week? Yes, as the Twitter account says. So there's that. But also, I just wonder if he has the explosivity needed to be a top level eight. So when you think of him, well, I think of like lots of static sort of players, like big hits because he's standing in the way. You don't think of those.
Standing in the way.
Yeah, you know, like the actions come to him. Like, but when he's ball carrying, yeah, he's big, he's strong, but he's not like that. He's not got that power, if you like. So that's my concern with him, really. I think he's better off as a flanker rather.
You wouldn't say that to him if he was sat here.
God no, God no. I mean, he's a hard man and he brings an old school edge. But you know, look at how you know Tulupe Faletau carries the ball. It's not a fair comparison because Tulupe Faletau is probably the best eight in the world.
But with all back rows, it's balance.
Oh, hang on. Disagreement there from Mr. McGuigan.
I think you got Funipola, Reed.
Funipola's not even the best eight in his family. Faletau is.
No, Billy. Is,
Billy.
No
Billy.
Way.
Talk to us about playing against Billy.
I just think he's fantastic. England's a different animal when he's playing.
But do you not think that
he always gets the team over the game line?
Do you not think that's a weakness in England though? That they, you know, they've got all these players and yet they haven't managed to adequately prepare for the loss of Billy.
But he's special, in my opinion. He genuinely is. He works hard. He always seems to get over the game line. The one time he didn't was actually in Sale at the AJ Bowl.
And they lost.
So if you can stop him, you stop England pretty much. England have not been the same when he's not played.
I completely agree
with
that.
I think England's definitely going to be a lot better this year with him in the squad.
I mean, I'll stand by my statement. I do think the Faletau is a better player. I think he's a better all-rounder. Maybe he's not as good a ball carrier as Billy. He is pretty special.
He is a different kind of ball carrier in my mind. Billy will always get that. In heavy traffic, he will go forward. Faletau out wide is different.
What did the Lions do in the end?
Well, he didn't have to worry about it because
Billy had a broken arm, didn't he?
Funipola was injured.
Yeah.
So they had no option.
Yeah,
no.
Was it shoulder or arm?
Shoulder, arm, knee, ankle.
Yeah, something. What a shame.
Faletau when a game's loose and he can get in those
the wide channels,
15-meter channel.
Which
out wide,
Kieran Reid, a few years ago, he was an unbelievable player. He was probably maybe the second best 13 in the world for a couple of years,
and was the first best.
Conrad Smith.
No, Emmanuel Haranordicki.
Good times. So Wales, I think they're going to have a good Six Nations. I think they can set the tone by going to France and winning.
If they go to France and win, and that's
exactly
a hell of a marker.
You highlighted that final fixture
is
at the Principality Stadium. It's going to be something else.
Just one more thing: is Geoffrey Demarue in the squad
for France?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I love watching him play.
Yeah.
In fact, I really enjoy it. So there you go.
So Teddy Thomas is the one. Oh no, that's France. In Wales. Who's
Wales. Up? So, well, just one thing on Wales. Are they still holders of the JB Cup?
Yes, they are.
God,
they've got nine out of nine.
Still persisting that that's an actual thing.
Do you want to explain to Byron what the JB Cup is?
Yeah, the JB
Cup. If you can explain it to Byron and he understands it.
The longest tier one winning streak. So they hold the JB Cup. So currently, Wales are on a 9-game winning streak. So they hold the JB Cup.
So carried on from...
They're currently on it.
Yeah.
So Autumn Internationals...
What's Ireland
now? Ireland lost to Australia in the summer. The first game they lost to Australia, didn't they? Yeah. So they've probably played probably three or four, plus then two. So probably on about six game winning streak for Ireland.
Stop with this.
I mean, is that one of your career ambitions? Maybe to be in a JB winning cup squad? Maybe Scotland? I mean, it's got to be up there, right?
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Right, here's one I want to ask you then, Byron. And I'm going to, fair play, BBC Rugby have done something where everything, the player names are accurate.
Okay, well done. Where it's a start.
And they've asked a question, so I'm going to ask straight to Byron now. If you could pick one player from another nation to bolster your Six Nations squad, who would it be? If you could pick from the other five nations.
Do it another way around. Which member of your squad don't you rate?
who would you give to another nation? No, not that one.
I think Sexton would be good. Although Finn Russell's amazing.
Yeah.
I just think...
I don't think the step
you need
up
a good,
is that...
You know, elevate, having a better backup for
yeah.
Finn would be...
Yeah, he's a good backup for Finn, exactly.
That's a nice one. Backup for Finn. Anyone else that tickle you fancy?
All right, for each nation, let's do it differently. Scotland can take five players, one from each nation. So you've got Johnny Sexton from Ireland. Who'd you take from Wales?
From Wales? That's a tough one. Wales. Alan Jones.
Nice. Leadership.
Yeah, I think experience. I think it'd be good. Him and Johnny Gray would be great.
Mm.
And then
from Italy.
Yeah.
Oof.
You've got a kind of you've got to kind of hog light with Menozzi, the fullback, haven't you?
I can't have him. Hogs.
Yeah, no, but he's like a sort of hog copy. He's like another.
Yeah. A little bit more steppy, maybe.
No, I can't make that joke.
I do like Menozzi.
Menozzi's good.
Jeez. I don't even know.
They've got some meaty back rows, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, David Ceci's in the squad.
He is.
It's quite interesting.
Belletri's injured though, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you can't think of a single Italian that.
Yeah, no Italians.
Do you know any Italians?
I do, okay. But no Italians.
Oh. What?
Dean Budd, go on, have him.
There we go. That's just gonna. They're gonna put that up on the. They're gonna print that out. Put it up on the dressing room wall. Yeah. All the only motivation we need. Byron McGuigan can't even name a single player that he'd have in Scotland squad.
Not one. No one believes in us outside of this room.
Right, England.
England. I'd say Billy Vunipola.
Yeah,
he is unique in what he does, isn't he?
What do you think of? There's a lot of chat about you. You're someone that's played wing. Fullback, where you can play across the back line. Elliot Daly, there's a lot of talk about him as England's fullback. Do you think, would you have a question mark next to him as England's fullback?
It's not really for me to say, but I don't think it is his best position, although he does seem to play pretty well. I don't know. I can't really comment on it. It's a tricky one. I think Anthony Watson should, I know he's injured at the moment, but that's his position, in my opinion.
The problem with Daly is, It's kind of like the Slade thing. They're just so talented. You know, do you play him where's best for him or where's best for the team? And they're not always the same answer. So you might need something at fullback, but actually he's a better winger.
So appreciate what you're saying is that he's very talented and can play in a number of positions. Yeah. If you had to pick him in one position where you would fear playing him the most, which is that position? If it's not fullback, then is it wing or centre?
Yeah, I'd probably put him on the wing. England, I would like to see. At nine, you've got a few good nines, but let's say Youngs was at nine. Farrell, I would go 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Slade 12 or Tuilagi 12 and Slade 13. I'll mix and match those two around because I like the idea of two ball players in the back line. Slade's left foot, Farrell's right foot.
The number on the back, it can be a bit more fluid than that, depending on where you are on the field.
You could even swap it around. You could put Tuilagi defensively at 12, Slade... To attack at 12, you know, you could mix and match because Henry Slade's very talented. Probably one of the best players I've ever played with.
Really? Down of at course, Exeter. You're
Exeter, yeah.
Of course. How, oh my God, yeah. Like, forgot about that.
I'm not saying pick a better player, but how does he compare to someone like Sam James? Because I watch Sam James and I just think he's amazing.
Sam James is unbelievable. And he's only getting better. Henry Slade, up until now, pretty much, I'd say he's... the best or one of the best players I've ever played with.
Really? Oh.
Just because he can kick, he's got a massive boot left and right, great passing game, his vision's good, he's tough. I'd just like to see him play better for England, to be honest. I think he plays so well for Exeter. But I think he could play better for England sometimes. So obviously support him. He's one of my good friends. I just really want him to like step it up.
Devilishly handsome as well.
He's very handsome. Very handsome. Do you think it's a case of like you just need to get him in a situation to succeed?
I don't know what it is. It's just maybe maybe it's nerves. I think the more caps he gets, he'll grow into it a bit more. But yeah, he's fantastic. Now,
was his first England cap Uruguay?
I do love his little JV.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you mention a name, it's like ding. Was his first game in 1994? Didn't he?
Wasn't he just born? I think it might have been his debut. You know, in
might
Manchester.
Have been his first start. Perhaps. Yeah, might have been debut. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought you'd take a total debutant to a World Cup.
I'm sure that they did,
that would be a real ballsy move.
Yeah, first time, that coaching staff weren't into making controversial decisions either, were they?
Burgess, yeah.
All roads lead to Burgess.
His second cap was against Uruguay in the pool game.
So what was the first one, the warm-ups?
Against France in the warm-ups, although he played for England against the Barbars in an uncapped game in 2014.
So the France game was the game where I famously said England are the most tournament-ready team in the world.
In 2015.
Well, 2015. You also said that Lyon were your...
Surprise pick. I was right.
Champions Cup.
No. I said they were going to surprise us, and they did.
By not getting a single point.
They're not getting a single point, yes.
All right, well, there we go. Let's continue with this. Hold on. Let me finish the thing. So which player would you take from England to Scotland?
Billy.
So what have we got?
France left.
You said Teddy Thomas already.
Scotland are absolutely stacked on the wing, so we probably need to go elsewhere.
I'd say behind Laidlaw, DuPont. I think he's a very exciting player.
I like it. So you plucked some backups for your halfbacks. Good call.
Sensible.
Yeah. Wise.
Yeah, very wise. We just went down that little England rabbit hole. I wouldn't mind continuing that with Byron.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about the Exeter connection. I'd really forgotten about that. And Slade, Knoll, and... So Jack Knoll, he's been playing at... He's played at 15 a couple of times recently. Could he potentially wear that, do you think, and do a job? Or do you think that's just a fill-in position?
Yeah, I think Jack Knoll could be a fantastic 15. I think Chris Ashton could be an option. England have good back three. It's just how you want to use it.
Can I ask you about that a second? Because there's a lot of speculation about Chris Ashton. The way that we've seen him play in the past, the arch finisher, people... I've never seen it myself, but people would say, well, defensively, he's a bit suspect with his positioning. You've seen him up close now, and after a year in the top 14 playing fullback, how's he getting on there? What's he like?
He's the most professional guy in the sales squad, definitely. He works really, really hard, gives great input. And position it's a lot different playing fullback than his wing, so it's challenging for him, but... He's very knowledgeable. The way we're defending now, he's had a lot of say in it, along with Jono and Tom Curry. So they've kind of just formulated something with the defence coach. And yeah, I think he's great. I think wing is his position. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fantastic winger. He's a great finisher. So yeah, that's
my
take on
him. Is he faster than you?
Yes.
Is he?
He is really quick.
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Who's the fastest guy in the squad then?
I'd say it's between Denny and Ashton.
Yeah, that
they're not. They're not miles quicker, obviously.
Is that top speed quicker?
Yeah,
or accelerate
top speed.
That amazes me about Denny, because like he's such a big, powerful. But he doesn't look maybe as athletic as Ashton is super athletic, but Denny's just he does shift for what is effectively a very big man actually.
Yeah. So when he gets going, he's top end. When he gets top end, he's really good, really quick. So
interesting.
It does worry me though. What Byron.
Of course, Denny could be. I mean, he's not in the squad, is he?
Well, no. But what Byron's just been sort of saying there is exactly what worries me as an England fan. When you're right to say Jack Knoll could play 15, Ashton could play 15.
Hey, Elliot could. Daly could play
13. Could play wing. Could do this. Could do that. There's so many question marks still. Which one is sort of a positive because England have such a rich pool of talent to pick from.
It's good to have options.
Great to have options.
It's bad to have too many options.
This is the problem, though, isn't it? It's like the NFL. If you've got two quarterbacks, you haven't got any. And that's kind of where England are. They've got no combinations. This should be sorted. This should have been boxed off 2 years ago. Well, a year ago.
Well, you can understand with the Tuilagi situation why that wasn't the case.
Move on from him.
But then again, at least you could say Tuilagi's the guy, but that's the way we want to play, but we've got Teo. So at least I think they're in a position now where there could be that clarity, and that's what has to happen through the Six Nations, is total clarity on who are the two men in each position, and if you can just get a definite one and a definite two,
and a way,
amazing.
And that way of playing and as well, because the difference
is that way of playing. But it should be the way of playing which fits the guys that you have, rather than trying to get the guys you have to fit the way you're playing.
Do you think he'll throw a really stupid curveball and do it, or maybe it's a great
Sam Burgess?
Go Teo, Tuilagi, Kokonasinghe, Daly. Just go for a massive backline.
I'd love it.
The biggest you can have.
Wales from 5 years ago.
Gatland ball.
How I'd love that.
I think Byron's on the money with Slade, Tuilagi, and just cement that way of playing Farrell at 10.
I like that. I like it.
Right, we've got a few more teams to get through if we're going to keep this up.
Come on then. Let's rattle through them then.
So the next game is Scotland, Italy.
Yes.
So Scotland team, Byron, who should we be watching out for? Who's going to have a really good Six
might
Nations?
Be off our, someone who might be off our radar a little bit.
Someone off your radar. I'm not sure if he'll start the first game or not, to be honest, but Darcy Graham, Edinburgh.
Yeah.
He's playing really well. He's quick. He's tough. Hungry. So I always like keeping an eye on players like that. An old head. I think Greg Laidlaw will be massive for the squad once again.
Yeah.
He's goal kicking and he's a massive leader in and amongst the group. Probably John Barkley's another one, I would say.
Yeah, getting John Barkley back is interesting. Yeah.
Such a nice bloke.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Such an amazing...
Oh, yeah, because you worked with him a few weeks ago, didn't you?
Such a lovely man.
Do you feel the same way about him as I do about AJ?
You love AJ?
I love AJ.
AJ's one of my best friends.
AJ's great.
He's a great man.
I would say he's probably the nicest guy in rugby, after you, Baron. Yes, of course.
I'm upset I'm not in your fantasy team, by the way.
Well, I couldn't pick you. It was a draft.
What do you mean? How does it work?
There's one version of every player.
I got Byron in the eighth round. You had eight picks to get him, and you didn't.
I was last pick two.
Because you're an international, obviously.
You did get pretty much everyone else in the SAIL team in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got to prioritise. Sorry, mate. AJ was my first choice.
Was he?
My first pick, yeah.
Is it worth mentioning just how important Laidlaw's influence and leadership on the team is, especially with his experience kind of playing in different environments, playing Gloucester, now playing in France at Clermont? What does that bring to the squad and the team?
Yeah, I just think he's obviously very experienced. Like you said, so he's travelled, he's played in Scotland, England, France. As you touched on, he's got many caps for Scotland. Mm. So experience, you can't buy that. And he's got such a cool head on the pitch. Obviously, when he's kicking for goal, he's massive. He doesn't really miss, touch wood. But, he's just great building up to the game. His speeches before the game, he gets boys very motivated, and that goes a long way.
You were at Glasgow, right, for a little while?
Yes.
Now, when I look at Scotland and how they've progressed, it's all been around Glasgow, because Glasgow are a fantastic operation. They do things really well. They assembled one hell of a squad. But now Edinburgh are starting to kind of get a bit of a foothold in, and you know they're doing pretty well themselves. When you go to Scotland squad, is there a little bit more confidence from the Edinburgh boys? Are they strutting around a bit more the last year or so?
I don't know. I'm guessing they have the bragging rights, so they're if I played for Edinburgh, I'd walk around, you know, winding the Glasgow boys up, but. I'm not there now to tell, but I certainly would be.
and do you know, like, is there kind of a lot of, I'm trying to think of the right sort of phrasing for it, but when they're playing together, you'll get the occasional club call, which you obviously been in England have no idea about, but obviously those boys do because they all play at Glasgow or Edinburgh now.
Say again, so...
They're playing and then all of a sudden you'll have a random call, club call from that. Glasgow, or is it all just Scotland's calls?
It's all Scotland's calls, yeah. There's no club calls, so everyone's on the same page.
It must be interesting with the geographically not much space between the two clubs. You've got the very close ties with the national squad and the two club sides, and Gregor and his team can sort of float between the two and pop up at training one day. The system and the setup they've got now is really starting to bear fruit, and it's I think it looks good. And having chatted to John Barkley a little bit, what they're able to do with the younger guys coming through and get them all that attention from these coaches, because it's all within this 50-mile
space. I tell you what,
space.
If there's a nation who should be watching this very keenly, it's Wales, because I think they're going to have to grab the ball by the horns, aren't they, and say maybe two regions is best for us. I mean, if they could combine their four regions.
Imagine the politics if they tried to do that.
But like, wouldn't they love it? Isn't that what they live for? I mean, rugby's a distant...
Live to get angry.
Yeah, rugby's a distant second priority to the Welsh after politics. You know, the more miserable they can be, usually the better the national squad.
Now, before we move off Scotland, JB declared his undying love or confidence in France for this year's tournament.
Yep.
Baron, would you like to declare your confidence in Scotland winning the thing?
Yeah, Scotland win.
Scotland to win.
At a canter?
Three home games, I think that's massive. Yeah. So I'd like to believe that they'll win those three games and then
not
win
easy
one
home
more
games.
And then you're in with a shout. So.
Yeah.
So hang on, who have you got at home? Is England away, right?
England away, and so we've got France Wales away. At home. Italy at home, yeah, France away, Ireland at home.
Ireland at home, second game.
Yeah, the game you won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the best Six Nations in terms of quality.
It's so interesting.
I mean, I'm sure I've said this every Six Nations, but I feel this genuinely is the best Six Nations, certainly since the last one, which was the best one I can remember.
Yeah.
And this Scotland side is, and I'm sure the commentators are going to go on about this non-stop, in fact, isn't the Six Nations drinking games out and about on Twitter.
It is.
I bet it mentions the fact that Edinburgh and Glasgow are both in the quarterfinals of the Champions Cup. I bet they mentioned.
There's got to be something for an Owen Farrell yellow card.
Owen Farrell, no arm tackle.
No arm tackle or a yellow card. Boom.
Jonathan Davis shouting, numbers!
Numbers!
Numbers! So let's move on then. Let's rattle
so
through these.
Scotland hosts Italy.
Yes.
So we can rattle through that fairly quickly. Baron, you weren't a big fan of any of the Italian players. Anyone we should watch out for?
Not that
you'd have them in the Scotland squad, but...
I think, like I said, the fullback's really good.
I think
both their tens, Carlos Cana and I think Tommaso Allen are not bad players. I think they're pretty good. On their day, they can be pretty good.
Whatever happened to Kelly Hayamona?
Back in New Zealand now.
Is he?
Yeah. I know that because he's playing for the team I used to play for there. So
you played in New Zealand too, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what's your? Let's just go through your teams. You did play for Bulldogs, is that right?
Bought a Bulldogs when I was young. That's my team in South Africa.
Yeah.
Then I went to Glasgow. Then I left Glasgow and I went to New Zealand just for 4 months to play the ITM Cup and then linked up with Exeter Chiefs.
How did you find that time in New Zealand?
It's good. Good fun. Defence didn't really matter. It's all about attack. scores are like 40 points to 30.
And then you went to Exeter and it must have been like a home from home because the haircuts in Exeter in New Zealand.
Pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
Mullet.
Both lands at time forgot.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we can skip over Italy. It's going to be Sergio Parise's last one.
Yeah. And that to kind of, and we won't go into any depth for Italy, but I think for someone to step up and take some of both the leadership and the ball carrying from Parise is really important. So like, whoever starts at six, Bramstein might start there, but I think whoever kind of starts alongside Parise will be really, really important for them.
Yeah, Bramstein's a very good player.
We saw them play against New Zealand in Rome and it was pitiful.
Yeah,
it really was,
wasn't a great performance.
I've told this story multiple times, but it's mindset for them. I mean, they're not 50% worse than all these other teams. They're just not. You know, they've got lads from the Southern Hemisphere. They've got South African boys that are good. They've got some Italian boys who are genuinely good, played Premiership, played in France, they're good. It's the national mindset. They just can't get over it.
Campagnaro. Campagnaro is the man to watch.
Campagnaro is
an unbelievable player.
Yeah, I've picked him for my fantasy team. I was hoping he wouldn't quite be fit enough and ready yet.
And the story I was referring to was the Leonardo Sarto story, telling all his Glasgow teammates that they've lost because they were playing Leicester Tigers before they even played, and they won by 30 points.
Sarto, who played for Leicester Tigers this weekend.
He did, didn't he?
Started for them.
Did Van Dell start as well?
Yeah, both of them started on the wings. Is anyone going to predict Italy for winning the championship?
Byron?
Let me ask the question another way. Is anyone on a mind-altering party drug right now?
Does anyone think anything other than last? So the final game of the weekend, 4:45 kickoff, Ireland hosting England. So, Ireland.
I'm so excited.
It's over before it even starts, isn't it, really, for you guys?
It's going to be a tough game. I think
with it being in Dublin, I'm not bothered about a defeat.
What? You're going to win the World Cup?
No. I'm expecting a defeat, but if England win four games and lose narrowly against Ireland, that I'll take that.
Oh my god,
100%.
Do you know what you sound like, Tim? You sound like a Welshman from 15 years ago.
I want them to win.
Obviously you want your team to win. I mean, that's obvious. You don't want them to lose. But it's like, yeah, if you just lose graciously, I mean, if this is a build on for the future, it's not good enough. You want to win the World Cup, you've got to go to Dublin and win. Right, Baron?
Yeah, I agree.
There you go.
I think they can win.
And that's what they'll be thinking, obviously. I'm not suggesting... Yeah. I'm not giving the team talk I expect Eddie Jones to give.
Hey, guys, gather in. We're not going to win this.
I'm with you. I don't think they're going to win. I think they could win. I think, exactly as we said before, Billy being back is massive. Mako being back compared to the autumn is big.
Yeah.
So having those ball carriers, I think Launchbury coming back is actually very important.
Would you start Launchbury?
I would do.
Who do you think England's best lock is?
Probably Itoje, followed by Launchbury, followed by Laws, followed by Chris.
I think it probably is Laws and Mauro. I think a 1-1-8. I really do.
Laws, the glamour stuff, the big hits that get all the headlines.
Folding police on in half.
Yeah. It's the work rate of, well, of Launchbury.
Laws is more... So I think one of the reasons that England didn't do so well last year was because Laws made himself almost undroppable, which is why you have this extra six, because you just couldn't work out how do we get him in there. I think...
Has Laws ever...
Folded you in half?
Folded you in half, Byron? No.
But have you ever run over him?
No. Round him? I try and stay away. I run also. Stick to my wing. But
you might even be able to catch you. He's
that
good.
No, I'm not that slow. I said I'm slower than Ashley. I'm not that slow. Jeez.
Yeah, I think I start... When I'm building that England pack, I probably look at Laws and then I expand outwards. And I think Laws and Itoje would be one hell of a pairing. Crikey.
Back with Ireland for a second.
Oh, sorry, Ireland, yeah.
Who to watch? Who's your... Because looking at the team, there aren't really any kind of hidden gems in this team. The hidden gems are Ryan and Lama.
Now, Stocker's there with the best in the world, and
Stocker's the best winger in the world. Best winger in the world.
Yeah. Second best winger in the world, yeah. Do you know what? I would say the best things with Ireland is don't watch anyone. Because if you watch one guy, someone else is going to hit you really hard.
Yeah.
If you are really focused on James Ryan, Tad Furlong is going to run all over you. And that's the problem. They're just class everywhere. There's no potential weak spots to this team.
One little thing to watch, I think, is... Rory Best, the captain. Sean Cronin's playing unbelievably well. So just watch that. Watch that little dynamic.
Yeah, but like when they take off the captain, they get a better.
Yeah,
much like England. It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing.
I mean,
they have clarity that I want England to have. We're not going to get that level of clarity by the end of the Six Nations, but that's... No.
I mean, the problem you've got is think about the only place England are clearly better than Ireland is at eight. That's the only position.
So CJ is very, very good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about CJ Stander.
CJ is... I would prefer Billy to CJ, but CJ is not a bad replacement.
Yeah, so like if you're going to combine the 15s, you would have Billy. CJ is not bad. So now, after that, your next best player is probably Mario or Courtney Laws, right?
Yeah.
In the pack.
Well, or Launchbury.
James Ryan and Devin Toner.
Or Mako.
Are bloody brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're playing phenomenally well.
Like, James Ryan is basically the Irish Mario Itoje.
Just 2 years younger.
Yeah. 2 years younger. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, he's good. So, and as for front rows, I mean, Mario's very good, blah, blah, blah. But that Irish front row is just leagues ahead.
Yeah. So I personally can't see anything other than this weekend. I think if you played that game 20 times, England might win one or two of them. But I think Ireland are going to win. And I think, realistically, only Wales can stop them in the final game. And for that to happen, Wales have got to win every other... They've got to go to France and win. They've got to beat England. They've got to beat Scotland. They've got to win every other game. And then they might have a chance with all that momentum.
France can beat them.
They might have a chance.
France can definitely. Actually, is it France in Dublin? No,
it's in Dublin, yeah.
They're not going to beat them, are they? It's not even going to be close. No, France could be on the end of a real hiding, actually, in Dublin.
What, no, France are going to win it. They're going to win it.
Tournament winners, JB.
Yeah,
maybe. It's on your board. It's on your whiteboard.
Yeah. By the way, have you always put anything on your whiteboard? Are you just going for boring Ireland?
I'm going for Ireland.
Oh, you're so brave. Go on, Tim.
So it's not about being England. Brave. It's
can
about
I, can
brave.
I change this after the pod? I'm going for Scotland, obviously.
Obviously,
Scotland. Obviously. No, so, I think.
Good for England. Go on. Go on.
I think England are going to win four games.
What a hope. No way.
After Scotland winning, I'd like to see England win only because I want people to look and think the Premiership is one of the best competitions. So.
Mm.
And if England are winning, then you know your teammate Chris Ashton, your former teammates at Exeter will have shown up.
Tom Curry.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of Sale boys involved.
Well, he's an important man now.
Going on to England.
Very, very important man.
He is.
Talk to us about Tom Curry.
Unbelievable player.
Yeah.
Right.
How come Ben Curry's not in the squad?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Like, unpack this conundrum for us. Everyone that I speak to around Sale basically says Ben Curry, unbelievable. Tom Curry, unbelievable. It doesn't translate from Sale, though, does it?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like I say, I'm not Eddie Jones, but Tom Curry's brilliant. Like Ben Curry's brilliant.
How does Ben take it?
I don't know.
Because they're competitive lads with each other as much as anything, aren't they?
No, Ben takes it well. He's very supportive of Tom. But Tom is maybe just a little bit more physical, tackling and overball, probably more consistent. But it's like nothing in it, really.
Mm.
Very similar players. Very good, both of them.
It's amazing to have two of them available to the squad.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah, so, he is important, isn't he? Because
very important.
I think he could be the best in the world in the next couple of years.
Do you really think?
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He is so good. If you just watch us play against Saracens a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Just watch his performance there. Watch his performance against the Springboks. Remember his age too.
So yeah, he's only 20 now, which might not be that popular.
He's 20 years old.
But that's amazing.
I obviously massively rate both the Curry boys, but I actually think when they came up against Wasps, I actually thought Jack Willis. Is it Jack Willis?
Jack Willis.
Yeah, Jack Willis.
6'8". Yeah.
I think Jack Willis really, really pushed him to the point of it being almost on as even.
Well,
maybe even shaded it.
Yeah, totally. But I think Byron's right to highlight that Saracens game because that was a fully loaded Saracens team with Billy Vunipola back in the side, and it looked in the first couple of minutes like they were going to get that front foot ball. And Tom Curry and fair play John O'Ross as well, just ended that game line threat, just nullified it completely.
Defensively, those two were awesome.
Absolutely amazing.
Do you know who was awesome getting Sale over the game line? Has been awesome for weeks. You know because I've told you, Rob Webber. I mean, if I was looking for an extra England hooker, I'd go straight to Rob Webber.
Well, they've got three in the squad, excluding Hartley at the moment.
Mm.
So they've got George, they've got Mullet-Dickey, and...
Singleton.
Jack Singleton.
He likes him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Saracen's Jack Singleton, right?
Yeah.
Potentially Saracen's Jack Singleton.
There is some magic cat movement there.
Some outstanding accountancy.
Yeah, world-class.
World-class accountancy. It's impressive.
So, who should we be watching on the England team, then?
It's all about Billy. Billy and
Teo or Tuilagi, the two the heavy traffic runners.
Tuilagi, yeah,
busting open space for everyone else. That's it.
Getting so England against France last year that we spoke about before, when they were manhandled,
yeah,
because no one was able to get them over the gain line. And exactly as you kind of mentioned before, Byron, about if you can get over the gain line, you can speed up the rooks, speed them up. And
do you actually think that France, even if you do have Billy, I just don't think France care. I mean, they play top 14. They're all Billy's size over in top 14.
Being Billy's size and being Billy's explosiveness are two different things.
They are, granted.
You've got a lot of guys who are 130 kg plus. Very, very few of them can do what Billy does.
Exactly.
Okay, then.
All right. Now, just one little brief interlude, because I know we're gonna have to. I'm linked up. So
oh, are you? Go on, then. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Let's have a little.
Oh, it's working.
Hold on. Are you sure it's working?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, JB is the only one wearing headphones.
Is there music coming through?
No, there's not. Something there is now. Oh, 8 Mile music.
Yeah. Right, let's have some local Northwest Rugby Club beef.
Oh, wow.
We've got two head coaches right here.
Forwards coach, actually.
Of two Greater Manchester clubs. And there's been some smack talk going on. You've been coming. Byron, JB's been giving it all the talk.
Yeah, he has been, to be fair. He's been speaking down, looking down at Bowden. I've offered him some games, midweek games, if he wants to come train against Bowden. He's full of excuses. He's now lost maybe three or four games in a row. And
very, very interesting that.
Barron's mid-table TV, top of our league.
Well,
so
that's interesting. The correlation between him refusing to take you up, you know, scared, running scared, and the dip in form. I think his players have seen the weakness that you've exposed.
Can I say, very unusual for Bowden to offer someone games. They just usually offer them cash. But
it's easy to get at that when you're winning. You've got to blame it on something, and money's one of it.
Look, games haven't gone our way. We lost by our biggest margin this Saturday. It was devastating, a 4-point margin. Sometimes
you lost by a 4-point margin.
That's right, 4 points.
And that's your biggest loss of the season?
Yep. Hard. You lost by 2 points, 1 point, and 4 points now.
So let's get Bowden v Tokach on. When's it happening?
The thing is, we have a pretty full schedule. We've got Manchester again. We always play Manchester. We always go away, and then we've scrapped our third pre-season because we do team building. Last year we did jiu-jitsu. So I'm not saying we can't do it.
It's booked in. I've spoken to the head coach.
Oh, is it actually, actually booked in
it's
now?
It's booked in for the 27th of July. That's our first pre-season game.
Wow, that's early as well.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, crikey.
Live pod from...
I feel bad for you guys.
Bowden Rugby Club.
I feel bad. I mean, look. You and Josh Strauss, who was the other coach, I owe a small fortune that they're paying these guys. Right? But, you know, it's going to be bad because we will take you to pieces. We've got a hell of a pack. We're incredibly well coached. The rugby intellect guiding Tokach is basically second to... You know, short of Steve Diamond, you're not going to get better in the Northwest.
We're talking about a mid-table team. Didsbury talk, all right? We're talking about a team getting promoted to level 6.
You're not going to...
sitting in level 8.
Do you think you'll get to level 6?
Yeah, definitely we're going to get promoted.
Oh, awesome. Well, yeah. Good luck. And we will see you in pre-season. But, you know, watch it.
Watch it.
Rugby beef. Right, quickly, let's have a game of rugby social and then we can let Byron get out of here.
Perfect,
back
right.
Back to doing his podcast.
Let me grab my phone. While we do this.
Oh, sorry, that's the next podcast we're going to talk about re-signings.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about sales re-signing, but we'll fix it later.
Yeah, next podcast. Okay, so rugby social. For the uninitiated.
You're all over social media, are you?
I am, yeah. Twitter, yeah.
Is it a bit of a chore to keep up with it and stuff? Because
I enjoy it.
You enjoy it?
Go on, Tim. You also say
I just think it's a... If I feel like coming off of it all the time, I think I'd be so much more productive and it's a cesspit. I might just go to lurking like Phil does.
Absolutely.
Lurking safer. And just keeping an eye on players' girlfriends on Instagram.
Well, I've been looking at players, not too many players, but girlfriends this week. I think all of this is from Instagram, actually. So, Byron, you might not be at an advantage. So I've got four questions with four options for each question.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to test and tease you about what some rugby players have been up to this week. So, first of all, Lima Sapuanga took some time away from training to engage in what trendy hobby? Was it knitting and yarn bombing? Was it DJing? Was it barista training? Or was it graffiti artistry? We'll go from left to right as I'm viewing it on the first question. JB, you go first.
Can I just say, first of all, I'm so glad that yarn bombing is a thing of the past. It used to be massive around here about 4 years ago. Awful, awful hobby.
awful hobby.
It is. I mean, you just see like trees vandalised and like 3 years later, sorry, 3 months later, it's all like sodden and dirty and some poor sod from the council has to come over and cut it down. So the answer to this is, I think he was DJing.
JB thinks DJing. Byron?
Making coffees.
Barista training for Byron.
I thought that and then I thought that's too obvious. I'm going to go for the last one, the graffiti.
Graffiti. Well, one of you has got it right. So it wasn't knitting and yarn bombing. It was Tim Cocker. He was working with a graffiti artist to draw a massive Lima Sapuanga on a wall in Coventry.
Oh my word. The narcissism involved in drawing your own, graffitiing yourself. Just quickly, has the standard of coffee in Sale Sharks gone down since Dave Seymour's gone?
No, he's still got his beans, so it's all good.
Oh, nice. Number two.
Coffee with the boys.
Question number two, and Byron, you'll be going first on this one. So, Jamie George has been a busy boy this month, opening his new business, which is called Carter and George. But what is it?
Ooh.
Is it a hipster coffee shop? Is it a jeweller's? Is it a physiotherapist, or is it a restaurant which specialises in breakfast and or brunch?
Restaurant.
Restaurant for Byron.
Who's
Tim?
So who's Carter?
Don't you worry about Carter.
So coffee shop.
Dan Carter.
Dan Carter.
Coffee shop, restaurant. What was the other one?
Jewelers. Physios.
Jewelers
for Tim Cocker.
No, what am I saying? No, yeah, whatever. Jewelers.
I can say with quite some confidence, it is a physiotherapist's.
Jamie George?
Yep.
Really?
I can tell you, one of you is correct again.
I know Petros Duplessis like a physio now. Jamie George is going down the same route.
Para is a trained physio as well. It is a physiotherapist.
There we go.
So Jamie George is not a trained physio, but one of his good friends, a school friend, is,
that is correct,
a physiotherapist.
I don't know how I know this, but I just did.
There we go. 1 point all for Tim.
Oh, yeah, look, I've just looked at it online. I don't know who Carter is, but it's not Dan Carter.
I don't think it's Dan Carter. Question number three. And Tim, you'll be going first on this one.
Yeah.
Stephen Luatua enjoyed a visit to Bristol Zoo today.
Ooh. The oldest looking 26-year-old man on earth.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Real
he's
tough.
He's got a tough paper round.
I interviewed. Who did I interview?
Bruce Rayana.
Ah, nice. Interesting.
Bristol coach for Rugby Dungeon. This weekend, yes, I can confirm he is interesting.
Mm. Okay, Luatua enjoyed a visit to Bristol Zoo today, but what animals did he compare the Pietau brothers to?
Right, so I've been to Bristol Zoo, and I can say I rate it very highly.
What are the options, Phil? Because I go first.
Oh, time. Right. Yeah. Sorry. I was just going to go to my knowledge of their collection then.
Yeah, you're just going to talk us through Bristol Zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
So, did he compare the Pietau brothers to a couple of kangaroos?
No.
Tim's answering first. Was it twin tigers? Was it some silverback gorillas? Or was it a pair of snakes?
I will go for the second one.
Second one, twin tigers for the Pietaus.
They're twin tigers at Bristol Zoo, do you?
I don't believe there is. I don't think they have very much charismatic megafauna, for want of a better word.
for want of a very accurate description.
Yes. I don't think they have many, like, safari...
Charismatic megafauna is not going to be on the Six Nations drinking game, I can tell you that much.
He's running like charismatic megafauna! yeah, they do loads of, like, really endangered stuff. So, that's why I'm surprised he didn't go for pygmy hippo. So that's exactly where I thought this was going. I'm going to go with a pair of snakes.
Pair of snakes?
Snakes.
Snakes as well.
Ooh.
I can tell you, you're both correct with snakes.
Well played.
I believe they have the Cuban boa in Bristol Zoo.
So JB's in the lead, me and Byron are behind with one, and there's one question left.
One question left. So, final one. Greg Bateman was taking in some local culture on a trip to Thailand. But
what's he doing there?
Everyone's on holiday, aren't they? Yeah. Actually, I'm surprised you're not abroad.
Here? Coaching.
Burden
first. They need to get their money's worth, don't they?
Burden first.
on that kind of wage.
Yeah. Burden first. Top of the league, you've got to put in the hours, JB.
Oh, yeah. All the cash.
Right, Greg Bateman in Thailand. But what fusion cuisine did he experience? Was it lasagna-flavoured crisps? Was it a hamburger-flavoured lassie? Was it lemongrass and prawn mille foy?
What? Mille foy.
Lasagna crisps.
Lasagna crisps.
And I'll go for the middle one.
The hamburger flavoured lassie. Byron, correct.
Oh.
In Thailand, he was indulging in lasagna flavoured crisps, really taking in the local cuisine, which means that JB and Baron draw.
Oh, congratulations, mate.
First place.
Next time we play each other, it won't be a draw. One of us will be winning next time, mate. Actually, as a bonus question, of course, I can't play the tiebreakers.
Actually, I have got a bonus question.
Oh, I've got a great bonus question.
Do you want to do yours?
Yeah, I'll do mine quickly. As we're talking about Greg Bateman, what was Greg Bateman's job before he was a rugby player? Or what did he sell? He's a salesman. What did he sell?
Pies at Greg's.
He what?
Necklace shirts.
Necklace shirts, nice.
What did you say, Baron?
Sold pies at Greg's.
Sold pies at Greg's, no?
I don't know.
Used car salesman.
What job needs...
Close.
What job needs enormous shoulders and no neck?
I think... Well, you're not far off.
Hard carrier.
If you need to sort of fuse those two answers and you probably get...
Heavy machinery. Plant. Tractors.
So close. He was selling... HGV lessons.
HGV lessons?
Yes, he was selling courses in HGVs.
Okay, so my question, we're going to go in turns on this.
Okay.
So, on the official Six Nations website, out of all of the squads, when it lists every player, two players are listed as universal backs. Which two players?
Wow.
So... Give me one name and I'll tell you if it's right or wrong and we'll go around.
If Byron was fit, it'd be three players.
Yeah, yeah.
So only two players listed as universal backs. And they do all sorts of stuff like, for example, Ollie Devoto is listed as fly half / fullback. So this suggests that they can play...
He's not listed as centre. Ollie Devoto.
Devoto.
Is that right?
Owen Farrell is listed as fly half / centre. That is ridiculous, the Devoto one. Mauro Togi is listed as lock / back row. So I think these universal backs are more than two players. Oh, sorry, more than more two positions.
They so could, Elliot Daly for me.
Elliot Daly is correct. Yes. He's one of the two.
Jack Noll.
Is incorrect.
Oh, no, what a shame.
This is all squads. Jack Noll, let me look him up. He is listed as wing / fullback, even though he's played for the team.
Is there one more?
There's one more.
From all the squads?
One more from all of the different squads.
I'm going to say...
Well, it's not your turn.
Oh, it is my turn.
No, you got one go. Byron.
Byron's had a go.
Oh, sorry. Tim.
Tim's
well,
on
I'm out.
Tim's on the tiebreaker. Okay.
Technically, okay. JB just won the sudden death.
JB won.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
we'll go for the other one.
I'm going to say it is Gareth Anscombe.
No. Let me just look what he is listed as. Anscombe is fly half / fullback.
Oh, well, then it must be Henry Slade.
Will Edison.
Ooh, that's a great one.
That's a great shout.
That is a good shout.
How did we not come up with Will Addison as one to watch for Ireland, by the way?
Interestingly, he is wing / centre, not fullback.
But he can play fullback.
He can play fullback, yeah.
And kick.
He's played for Ireland in the... Was it in the summer he played fullback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has played, yeah. Was it USA?
Yeah, USA.
The other one, shall I tell you?
Yep.
Well, you're in the right team with Will Addison.
Not Lama, is it?
Not Lama.
I can't think of anyone else who plays across the backs for them.
Who's likely to start on the other wing from Stockers?
Keith Earls.
Keith Earls.
Keithill's a universal back.
It's what he's listed as.
Well, but then centre-wing fullback.
Yeah, he can play all those. But then Devoto is listed as fly half slash fullback.
I would never have got. If we'd have played this game for 10 years, I still would not have got Keithill's. There you go.
There you go.
Another wonderful episode.
One little bit of Six Nations trivia I learned this week. Do you know what the inside of the Six Nations trophy is coated with and why?
Ooh, great.
Marmite.
No, unfortunately not. It's gold. Why is the inside of the trophy coated in gold?
Now, is this something to do with, like, electrical charges or something?
I was going to say...
And reactions.
Is it because it's a metal that would oxidize, a metal that would rust the majority of it's made out, so it's plated gold, so you need to plate the inside as well, otherwise it would rust so you can drink.
Why do you need to plate the
so
inside gold?
Drink
so you can
it.
Drink champagne, so it doesn't corrode from champagne.
Ah, there we go.
That's true.
That is that really is first world problems. We need to plate our trophies with gold so we can drink champagne
out of them.
Wow. Do you get much of that in MMA? Gold-plated cups for champagne?
No, you don't, Just a little gold belt, but you can't be drinking out of that.
Yeah. But on that, I do want to mention, so Bite MMA, brand new podcast you need to get in your life with Byron McGuigan, bringing, well, you know, do you, how much does rugby come up in the conversations when you're having a chat? 'Cause there must be some parallels.
Not really, but we do try and see the fighters' mindsets compared to like a rugby player.
Have you learned much from the fighters and applying it to your rugby?
No, not really. I just think it's more than just trying to punch someone. There's so much skill and it's quite tactical. It reminds me a bit of rugby. You know, it's not as easy because you obviously have grapplers, kickboxers, wrestlers, jiu-jitsu artists, all different forms of fighting.
How is James O'Connor's jiu-jitsu?
I don't know. I've not.
I thought he was big into it.
Yeah, he is. He's doing it with this guy called Ollie. Himself, AJ's done it too. Same with Johnny. I don't know how good he is.
There's no bragging rights then. So
there's no bragging rights.
Tap you out.
No.
What? Are they doing it right?
It's all controlled. So it's not like, there you go, it's who taps first.
That's usually how it works. I don't know about this. I'm very suspect of what Ollie's up to over there. So Bite MMA, is that weekly?
Yes. That's
go right. Just go hit subscribe. Go have a listen right now. And there's a lot of rugby podcasts, there's a lot of MMA podcasts, but this is the new one on the market, and you should definitely go and check it out, 100%. I just realised I haven't actually looked at James O'Connor's Instagram in a while. It's been quite interesting recently.
Amazing, isn't it? Every morning I wake up, check James O'Connor's Instagram, followed by Will Greenwood's. Every day.
He's a big boy.
Is he? Yeah. Anyway. He's been working out. He's
What's he got on him there? What's that?
What is that?
Oh, suction cup.
Yeah, suction cups, yeah.
Are you doing any of this stuff, Byron?
No, suction I'm not into that stuff, no.
Look at the lats on him, though.
Yeah, he's a big old boy. Tell you what, he's got some superb genetics.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, Byron's got a family that we're keeping him from. So, and Phil's got a wife that could go into labour any minute, so...
Yes.
And JB's got a newborn that...
Yeah, well, might really... cry.
Should we finish there then?
Yes. Thank you, Byron.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And you're going to come back anytime soon?
When I'm invited, I'll come round.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.